Hey everyone, this is Anthony Fleming, Senior Pastor of Church Alive, praying that this message is fresh, real, and powerful in your mind, your heart, your family, every part of your life. If you enjoy these messages, subscribe to it, share it with a friend to build their faith. God bless you as you lean in to the power and presence of God's Word.
All right. How are we doing, church? Good morning. Thank you, Pastor Steve. Thank you, church, for being... Come on. You guys can keep playing. This is what my wife's holding up at the front row here, which is hilarious. That's funny. You have a tattoo? Who gave you a tattoo? What? She literally has a tattoo of my face on her arm right now. What is happening? Looks like we're having church this morning. Who's ready for church? It's going to get wild. That's funny. Yeah. Hey, I'm going to read, if you could just remain standing for a moment, out of Zechariah 4, verse 6. It's going to go up on the screen. This is what it says. Then he said to me, "This is the word of the Lord for Church Alive. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts." Can you stretch your hands to heaven? Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you for your presence. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're here. Thank you for allowing us to be in your presence. Thank you for dwelling in us. May your voice be heard in this room. May your plans and your will be accomplished in this room, not mine, but yours. Have your way in this place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Come on, can we give the Lord a hand? You may be seated. How are we doing this morning? Thank you, worship team. You guys rock. You guys rock. I feel like if Peter would have started a band, he would have called it Rock and Roll. Because he is the rock and the stone was rolled. Let's go. There we go. Is it okay if I sit? I want to sit and have a conversation with you this morning. Is that cool? Is that all right? Give me permission to do so. Even if you don't, I'm still going to do it. But I mean, how many of us are grateful for the different things in our lives? How many of us are grateful for an amazing church that we get to be a part of?
Yeah.
How many of us are grateful for comfortable chairs that we get to sit on, right? Yeah, they got nice and cushiony. Some of you are so used to sitting on the same seats that it's got your butt print on it. Weird. How many of us are grateful for clothing?
Yes.
Yes? It'd be weird if we didn't have clothing in this room. It'd be hard to focus. Let's not think about that too much. How many of us are grateful for food? Do we have any foodies in the room today? How many of us are grateful for technology? It's made it some things a lot easier. How many of us are grateful for friends? Friends in our lives, friends. Yes, friends. Friends are good. Friends. How many of are grateful for real friends who tell you like it is?
Yes.
Come on now.
Yes.
Don't tell me what I want to hear.
Yeah.
Real friend will tell you what you don't want to hear, but what you need to hear, right?
Yeah.
I was looking up some stuff of about friends. Here's some interesting facts about friends. Friends is good for your health. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Having friends, it's good for your health. Unless they like eating ice cream all the time. So maybe it's not. Here's what research says. It says that hanging out with friends can make you look more attractive.
Wow.
Who's ready to make some new friends today? We have such a friendly church. We do. I was reading a list of facts about friends, and this just was funny to me. It says animals have friends too. I feel like whoever was writing it, they just had a moment. They're like, got defensive for some reason about animals, and they're like, animals have friends too. It's like, thanks. I'm talking about people. Did you know that this one was interesting? Did you know they did a study? I don't know how they did this, and let me know if it's true about you. But it says that on average, when a loved one, a special someone, comes into your life, you on average you lose two friends.
True.
And it's actually not just two friends. You lose a friend and a family member. Is that true for you? Like, everyone's looking so guilty now. They're like, that's why you haven't texted me in forever. I remember it used to be a running joke between Pastor Steve and I when he first got married. I'm still a little bit bitter. We haven't hung out much. Just disappeared all of a sudden. Thanks, Amanda. If you're wondering why I was always looking at you weird in the foyer, that's why. Apparently, friends can make you feel fearless. Andrew, where's Andrew? Friends can make you feel fearless. If you're a high school student, go to Fearless. Get yourself some friends, and then you'll find yourself fearless. Friends can make you fearless. Friends can help you stick to your goals. How many of us have friends who help us stick to our goals out there? Except for that one friend. That friend doesn't. We all have that friend. But interesting, friends, like many things in life, can complement the will of heaven for your life.
Yeah.
There are many things in life, like friends, resources, money, a building, that can complement God's plan for your life. But there's only one thing in this world that can carry it. There's only one thing in this world that can activate the divine. If God is divine, therefore his plans are divine. God isn't natural, he's supernatural.
Yeah.
There's only one thing in this world that we can tap into that activates the supernatural in our lives. You and I are natural beings, we're limited. But when God shows up and he pours his super on our natural, that's how we live a supernatural life. How many are grateful? One more thing that we are grateful for, cars. My goodness, how many of us are grateful for cars? Cars have definitely made things a lot easier from getting one place to the other. You know what's something interesting about cars? There's something called an overdrive. Kyle probably knows this, and every other mechanic in the room. But a car has something called an overdrive. An overdrive is a mechanism that allows a vehicle to go further, faster, without overheating. You know, and in the old cars, this overdrive would be bolted on according to the drive or according to the load. And then when they were done, they would remove it. But in modern cars, an overdrive is already pre-installed. It's permanently installed. It's the reason why you can jump in your car and go to Florida tomorrow, as long as you're doing your maintenance, getting your oil changed. It can go fast and it can go the long distance without burning out. It's installed permanently now. And one thing that we learn about scripture, under the old covenant, the temple where God would dwell was not only a physical building, that's where God would hang out, but the Holy Spirit was external as well and temporary. So let's say God had an assignment for AJ to accomplish back in the Old Testament, under the old covenant. The Holy Spirit would fall on AJ. AJ would fulfill the assignment, complete the mission, and then the Holy Spirit would leave. He was external and temporary. But under the new covenant, we learned that the temple is no longer a physical building. It's our bodies. And I was thinking about that. The creative divine artist behind all of this decided to change the temple from a building to our bodies. That's his home. No pressure. Just when you thought life was heavy. Like, the guy behind all of this chose you and I to be his home. And no longer is the Holy Spirit external and temporary. He's internal and eternal. He dwells in us. He dwells in you. He desires to dwell in you. Your body is his home. And I wanted to talk to you today on the topic of divine perseverance. Divine perseverance. Not just persevering in the natural, but persevering in the spirit, persevering in the supernatural. If you and I can agree that God has a plan, if we believe in scripture, that he has a plan for every single soul, every single human being, then we have to believe that we persevering in the natural isn't enough. We need something else in order to persevere in a way that is supernatural, in a way that is divine, and that is called the Holy Spirit. You and I need that overdrive called the Holy Spirit in order to have divine perseverance in our marriages, in our families, in our relationships, in our careers, in our work environment. If you want to be ordinary, don't look for the Holy Spirit. But if you want to be extraordinary, if you want to activate the supernatural in your life, it is impossible to do it without the Holy Spirit. Because the scriptures say that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Here you go. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price." How many of us know that you were bought with a price? God's people are not for sale. God's children are not for sale. We've been bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. And with that thought of divine perseverance, we read the scripture, Zechariah 4. The word of the Lord was not by might, not by power, but by his spirit. And I just want to talk about that for a few moments more with you this morning, if that's okay. Zechariah was a prophet in scripture. Zechariah was used by God to speak to the people of Israel who've been exiled. And God used Zechariah to motivate, to challenge the people in rebuilding God's temple. Remember, the temple was a building at the time. And in doing so, his job was to inspire and challenge people to hold on to God's promises and to stay faithful to him. And I want to read of that a little bit more. Zechariah 4, verse 4, if you got your Bibles with you, it should be on the screen. It says this, and this is not the first time that the Lord spoke to him. It had happened already before, but here we go. The Lord's going to speak to him again. Zechariah, verse 4, chapter 4, verse 4. "And the angel who talked with me came again and woke me like a man who's awakened out of his sleep." I'm sure that was a sight to see. "And he said to me, 'What do you see?' And I said, 'I see and behold a lampstand of gold with a bowl on top of it and seven lamps on it with seven lips on each of the lamps that are on top of it.'" If the life was weird, it just got weirder. What does that mean, Lord? Why do the lamps have lips on them? That's the stuff I think about when I read scripture. And then it says, "And there are two olive trees by it, one on the right of the bowl and the other on its left. And I said to the angel who talked with me, 'What are these, my Lord?'" I don't know about you. I would ask the same thing. I'm like, what is this? That is weird. Is there a simpler version of this, please? Because it's confusing. "And then the angel said, 'Do you not know what these are?' And then he said, 'No, my Lord. Obviously, I don't. They got lips on them.'" What is this? I can't get away from the lips. "There's seven of them. And then he said to me, 'This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel,'" which was, Zerubbabel was one of the anointed leaders that God had chosen to lead the rebuilding of the temple. "Tell him this, 'It's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts.'" The vision, I'm going to summarize the vision for you. The two olive trees were the two appointed leaders that God chose and anointed to lead the rebuilding of the temple. And God used Zechariah to speak to them and tell them, "Hey, your success of the rebuilding of the temple is not only dependent on political strategy, resources, the building, wisdom. Even though these things are good things, it's not only dependent on this, but your success is dependent on my spirit." And the Holy Spirit is holy. And in order for the Holy Spirit to be present and active in our lives, you and I have to repent. We have to turn from our ways. We have to. The repentance means this: I change my mind, Lord. Yeah. This is wrong. I believe your word. Yeah. I'm going to change the way I live. That's what the vision meant. Listen to this again. The success of the rebuilding of the temple was not dependent only on political strategy, not on capability or gifting or talent or whatever accomplishments you've had in the past. It's dependent on his spirit. And I want us to think about that for a moment. The temple is God's home. God is divine. Therefore, the temple's success is dependent on divine perseverance. It's not just perseverance, it's divine perseverance. We need the Holy Spirit. So I wanted us to talk about the Holy Spirit for a moment. I don't know if you know this, you may be new to church, checking out faith for the first time. Maybe you're a new Christian, new believer, or you've been on this journey for a long time. But we live in the age of the Holy Spirit. As a church, we live in the age of the Holy Spirit. And I think it's an important thing to know and to be reminded of today in 2023. One of Jesus' last words to his disciples was, wait. Before you go into the city, wait for the promise of God. What was his promise? It was the Holy Spirit. Before you go, you need the Holy Spirit. Before you go again, you need the Holy Spirit. So here we go. Who is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. God reveals himself to you and I three ways. As a Father, he reveals himself through his Son, Jesus Christ, and through his Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is his presence. The Holy Spirit is God. He's one with God and Jesus. The Holy Spirit is a divine person. This one, I thought it's important for us to write this down if you're taking notes. The Holy Spirit isn't just some random idea. He's not an it. He is a person. This is what scriptures teaches us, that the Holy Spirit is a person. Here we go. The Holy Spirit is a divine person, a being with a mind, emotions, and a will. The Holy Spirit, the scriptures tell us that he can be grieved by our actions. He can be grieved by our choices. He's a person, which means you and I are meant to have a personal relationship with him. Think about the relationships in your life. You invest time, treasure, and talent in order to cultivate these relationships. And if you didn't do that before marriage, you'll learn that in marriage that you need to cultivate a relationship. Yeah. You can't just assume, you can't just imprint your own opinions. You have to learn what the other person likes. How do they feel loved? What's important to them? What matters to them? The Holy Spirit, in order for our relationship to be cultivated with him, we have to learn who he is, what he likes, what kind of actions and language and things that attract his presence. Why do we need the Holy Spirit? By the way, this is a little bit different than what I normally do. I'm normally like shouting and going crazy and telling awkward stories. But I really felt to speak on the Holy Spirit today and divine perseverance, because just a simple thought, if we live in the age of the Holy Spirit, just think about your life for a second. As a Christian, as a new believer, if you're new to church today, we'll talk in a moment, but just think about that simple reality and truth. If we live in the age of the Holy Spirit, and he's our most powerful tool, person, being, available to us in order for us to have divine perseverance, do we actually take the time to invest in that relationship as we ought to? Yeah. If we are living in the age of the Holy Spirit, it means, hey, out of all the things that you have in your life, some things can complement the will, but the most powerful thing you have in your discretion is the Holy Spirit. And I felt so convicted reading about this and just meditating on this word, because if I'm honest, I don't know if we do. Yeah. As a church and as believers, he's a person. And I wonder if he feels welcomed. I wonder if he feels wanted and desired. And does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. As you can tell, I'm still processing that with you. But why do we need the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is a promise from God. And just to put it super simple, that means we need him. The Holy Spirit will enable us to do what we were born to do. That's why so many of us will search, we'll look for things, we'll try to find things that satisfy success. And without him, we still find ourselves in a place where we're empty. We still find ourselves in a place where we're lost. I've sat across the table from people who have seen success, experienced it, they know who you want to know, but yet find themselves in a place where they're empty and looking for direction. It's the lack of the Holy Spirit. Luke 24:49, here we go. It's a verse for you. It says, "Behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." It's the Holy Spirit. John 14:26, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance what I have said to you." Why do we need the Holy Spirit? Because we need help. We need help. When? We just talked about it. When will the Holy Spirit come? Now. We live in the time of the Holy Spirit. Acts 2:17, "And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters will prophesy, your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams." The God wants to pour his Spirit on you. Whoever you are in this room today, there's more of his presence. There's more of his Spirit. There's more of his voice. There's more healing. There's more breakthrough. There's more purpose. There's more power that he wants to reveal to you today. So how do we continue to make room for the Holy Spirit to show up? If we are his home, what kind of renovations do we need to do? What kind of upgrades do we need to do in our lives for him to continue to show up? How do we continue to make room for the Holy Spirit to show up? I'm going to throw a few thoughts at you. Is that cool?
Yes.
Here we go. The Holy Spirit will show up where Christ is preached.
Yeah.
I would say when it comes to the environments that you find yourself in, the Holy Spirit will often show up when Christ is preached. And I think it's important to write that down because scriptures tell us that Jesus isn't a way. He's the way. And he's the truth.
Yeah.
He's not what I feel like the truth is. The Holy Spirit will show up where Christ is preached. Here we go. Acts 2:36 says, "Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you have crucified." Now when they heard this, the people at the 8:30 service, they were cut to the heart. Are you cut to the heart? Don't tell me. Hopefully a little bit. And he said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." The Holy Spirit will show up where Christ is preached. The Holy Spirit will show up where there's repentance. The Holy Spirit will show up where there's prayer. That's why we pray for people at the end of service. That's why we have morning prayer on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Wednesdays, Thursdays? She doesn't know. Beautiful. There's prayer. That's funny. Acts 8:17 says this, "They laid their hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit." I think it's good to read stuff like this so that you don't think Church Alive just makes up their stuff. We get it from Scripture.
Yeah, that's really
we lay hands on people because Scripture tells us to lay hands on people.
Yeah.
And I don't mean like the old ways you used to lay hands on people, Kieran. I mean like, oh man. Kieran is a friend, so I can joke with him, right? All right. Oh, dang it. Was really trying for moments like that to not happen. As you, I don't know if you can tell, I'm trying to stay focused. People who know me, I get distracted very easy. I waste time. So I'm trying to stay focused this morning and I hope I'm doing a good job. The Holy Spirit will show up where there's obedience. Ooh, that's a hard one. That's a hard one, Pastor. Acts 5:32 says this, "We are witnesses to these things." Acts 5:32, if you're writing down notes, "We are witnesses to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who disobey him." Oh, no, that's not what it says. It says to those who obey him. Sorry. Theology check. That was on purpose, just so you know. Yeah. Yo, you kicking me out, bro? I just started talking. I come again. No, I love you. I love you, angel. The Holy Spirit will show up where there's keys. No, the Holy Spirit will show up where he is desired.
Yeah.
Just like any human being. Man, I don't want to hang out with people who don't want my presence.
Yeah.
I want to hang out where I'm desired. There are people in my life right now, I can tell, I can feel the love. I feel the desire. They want to know me more. They want to hang out. That's where the Holy Spirit will move, where He is desired. Do you desire the Holy Spirit, church? Woo. My goodness, dude. You are so anointed. It is hard to even talk. It's one thing when it sounds pretty, but it's a whole other thing when there's fresh oil on it. You are anointed. Remember that. Talk about not by power nor by might, but by the Spirit. All right, here's the last section of our conversation this morning, church. What will the Holy Spirit do when He's present? Oh, don't look at my toes. I want to encourage you, not discourage you. Good thing I. You looked at my toes? If you look at my toes, you'll turn into a pillar of salt. Here we go. What will the Holy Spirit do? We talked about who He is. We talked about why we need the Holy Spirit. When will He move? How do we continue to make room? But what will He do? Ready? Here we go. The Holy Spirit will lead you into freedom. Before Christ, we find ourselves just like the people who were exiled. Because of their ways, they found themselves bound. They found themselves in prison, whether it's a mindset or just sickness, whatever it may be. They found themselves bound because of the way they were living. Therefore, they were exiled for 70 years. But this is what God was telling them. Hey, and He used Zechariah to say this. Hey, remember what happened. Turn from your ways and you will be successful. You will find healing. You will find breakthrough. And in this case, He will lead you into freedom. Bondage maybe it feels like it's your story. It's not your story. Just like the valley, it's a part of your story. And the Holy Spirit can break whatever bondage you have in your life today. And that's why we're going to pray for people. And even right now, we're not just limited by moments. He's moving right now. Yeah. He's speaking. He's breaking. He's setting somebody free right now. I know He is. Holy Spirit will comfort you. Acts 9:31 says, so throughout all Judea and Lyndhurst, New Jersey, they had peace and was being built up. And walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, Church Alive multiplied. Yeah. Amen. The Holy Spirit will give us power. Acts 1:8. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses all around the world. The Holy Spirit will lead you into joy and gratitude. This is an area that I refuse as a Christian to not be my reality. I find it hard when Christians walk around with no joy. Yeah. I think there's a problem. Something needs to be tweaked. Because the Holy Spirit will lead you into joy. Ready? Here, three scriptures on that. Luke 10:21. Jesus rejoices in the Father's will. Something sounds weird. Jesus rejoices in the Father's will. In the same hour, He rejoiced in the Holy Spirit and said, I thank You, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. That's why I love that song, This Is Our Faith. I don't know who wrote it, but man, I love there has to be gratitude and thankfulness. The Holy Spirit will lead you into that. Romans 14:17. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, man, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. And then the last one on that one, Galatians 5:22. Man, we're being fed today. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Just wanted you to see joy in there. It's a part of it. It's part of the fruit of the Spirit. The way you can tell what kind of tree it is by the fruits that it produces. What is the fruit of your life? I'm not talking about perfection. But over time, you should become more and more like the Holy Spirit, like Christ. And one of the fruit is joy and gratitude. The Holy Spirit will guide you. Maybe you're in this place, you feel lost. Have you ever felt lost? All the entrepreneurs in the room, dreamers and innovators and creatives. It's normal to feel lost at times. Even when you feel like you have it all planned out, you don't know what the next step is. The Holy Spirit will guide you. It says this in John 16:13, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. The Holy Spirit will guide you. And here's the last point. The Holy Spirit will give you revelation. 1 Corinthians 2:12, now we have received not the spirit of this world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given to us by God. The Holy Spirit will give you revelation. He'll give you revelation of the word when you read it. He'll give you revelation of your life and the purpose that God has for you. He'll give you revelation in marriage, in family, finances. He is wisdom. And the worship team can come back up. This will be a good time. This one means a lot to me. The guidance and revelation. The odds were not in my favor growing up and where I am at now. If you knew me back then, if you get a trailer of like my upbringing and some of the things that I've been through, which I know we all have, it was not in my favor. You know, just, and God's healed me in so many ways, and I believe in a lot of ways he's still healing me, and that is our journey, by the way. Healing is a process. Some healing happens in a moment. Some, as you walk with the Lord. So keep walking with him. Don't give up. But, and, you know, we talk about abuse, divorce, insecurity, depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, you know, drinking and going from relationships to relationship. If you look at the outcome of the life that I live right now, it makes no sense to my upbringing. And a lot of us can relate to that, right? But revelation and guidance means so much to me when it comes to the Holy Spirit, and I'll tell you why. In my early days as a Christian, I was setting up chairs, just like our amazing team sets up in the morning. Can we honor our chair team? Yeah. 13 years ago, showing up, all skinny and like, still skinny. But self-motivation there, speaking life. But I remember setting up and volunteering, getting baptized. Super, I'm talking about early days. And I have no musical background at all in my life, at all whatsoever. Like negative, terrible. But I remember serving and just following the Lord and repenting little by little, not all at once. Let's be honest, we don't all do it all at once. It's like, no, I did it. No, you didn't. You are lying. There you go. But I remember just an honest, pure, sincere faith of following the Lord, serving, giving, building his house with my time, treasure, and talent. And I would drive home and I would see myself leading worship. And I would laugh, and I laugh now because that was literally my reaction in the car. I would start laughing. I'm like, that's ridiculous. You're just thinking about yourself, you know? And I'm like, that's so weird. Why do I see that? And then I would disregard it, and then I would see myself playing instruments, and I'm like, Lord, I'm a truck driver who wants to become a pilot. Why am I seeing this? Like, my lifelong dream was to become an airline pilot. So I went to flight school, I was driving tractor trailers and paying for school, and went to college for a semester, and that wasn't for me. But I remember I would get these pictures, and I, like, there's one thing when you're emotional about something, you're like, oh, everybody wants to sing and be famous. Everybody wants to be. It wasn't that. It was just random moments where I'd be serving and I would get glimpses of like me leading worship. And even now I get the same feeling that I got back then. It's like, this is ridiculous. This is not me. I come from a family of truck drivers and mechanics, and that's what we do. Nothing wrong with that. So I thought my future was going to be to operate something, which was an airplane. And moments and moments and moments like that, the Holy Spirit started to work in my life, and that's what he'll do. That's what revelation is. He starts to guide you and reveal things to you that you didn't see before. That's what revelation is. He opens your eyes to see what you didn't see. He opens your ears to hear what you didn't hear. And little by little, he reveals himself and more to you. And he does that in a way that complements the divine plan that God has for your life. And looking back now, you know, like, this is what I saw in those early days. And even now, he's revealing new things. Church Alive music is new. It still feels ridiculous in so many ways, but I feel like he's revealing that to me, that there are songs in me and in our church that will be birthed out for the good of what he wants to do here. If he takes it elsewhere, that's on him. But I believe that that's an assignment he's put in my life. It makes no sense. The gifting doesn't add up. The experience doesn't add up. The definitely not qualified, but that's what the scriptures say. It's not by power. It's not by your ability to sing or to whatever skill you have. It's those things can be good. Hopefully if you sing, you can sing. But at the end of the day, church, I just want to leave you with this. The plans that God has for you and for our church and for your family and for you individually, yes, go out and get a degree. Learn a new skill. Cultivate those things. Those things are good. But remember that it's His Spirit who carries you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm grateful? Can you stand to your feet? You know what? One of the things that I'm grateful about my story? I'm grateful for many things, by the way. I wasn't always, but now I am. God had to teach me a lot. You know what I'm grateful for? Here we go. And I'm not diminishing gifting. I'm not diminishing finances or skill. Those things are good. But I really have to rely on Him. Steve knows, everybody knows, like my friends. In the last 13 years, moment after moment, it just made no sense. I see Douglas and Adelia in the back here. My goodness, I get reminded of my journey so much. Adelia, can you raise your hand, Adelia? Here we go. These people are so dear to my heart. They're actually Adelia's Jack's sister, the drummer. There we go. There he is, Jack. Adelia, actually, she was the first person that ever preached to me. I was in a youth, and the way she ministered, I think I gave my life to Jesus like 30 times back then. It was at youth, and that's why, man, what you do is so important, Andrew. If it wasn't for how the Holy Spirit used them, even now, just seeing them, I get reminded of God's faithfulness and goodness. Man, I got saved in youth. My goodness. And can we honor Andrew? I'll leave you with this. I'm grateful that he did it and not me. Because when you do something, it's too heavy to keep it up. Think about it. When it's you who accomplish something by your own strength and your own ability, it's too heavy. It's not sustainable. Is it possible? Yes. Just like a car without overdrive. Is it possible to drive? Yes. But the distance and the speed, there's only so far you can go. But with the Holy Spirit, it's limitless. I can go the distance. I can go at a faster speed. I can reach new heights. And I love the comfort. That's why he comforts us. Because when we allow him to do something in our lives, there's nothing and no one that can take it away from you. Nothing. The word of God says that what God does, nothing can be added or taken away. The works that God wants to do in and through you, when you allow him to do it, nothing can stand in the way. And I think it's good to know, because we live in the canceled culture. We live in the culture where things are like being censored when you say Jesus. Man, I'm not worried about that stuff. What God is going to do, what he wants to do in and through my life, he will accomplish it. Who are you to try? And we should see our lives the same way. Man, allow the Holy Spirit. Continue to make room in your life. Go where Christ is preached. Repent. I repent almost every day.
Yeah.
I have to. My gosh. Especially in traffic. Repentance is daily. Continue to repent. Continue to desire the Holy Spirit. Make room. And I know I shared a bunch of thoughts, but remember, it's not by power. It's not by might, but it's by the Spirit. Whatever God wants to do, He will do if you rely on Him. And nothing and no one can stand in the way. And right now, every eye closed in this place. Father, I thank You for the reminder and the comfort of Your word today. That it's not by power, Lord. It's not by might. My goodness, we are so grateful that it's not up to our gifting or having enough money. These things can be good and are good and can complement Your will. But Lord, we are so grateful that it's Your Spirit that makes it possible. With men, it's impossible. With God, it's possible. Anything is possible. If you're a Christian in here today, I want to speak to two people. If you're a Christian, whether you're close to the Lord or far away from the Lord. And then I want to speak to somebody checking out church for the first time. And this is new to you. If you're a believer, if you've been following the Lord, man, I want to continue to just affirm that in your life. Just like Zechariah did to his people. Don't turn from Him. Stay faithful to Him. Go to the Word. Pray. Repent. Desire, eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit. Build the church with your time, with your treasure, and with your talent. But remember, it's the Spirit. It's everything else is under that. And if you're new to church and faith is a new idea to you, Jesus, this whole thing that we just talked about, I want to summarize it for you really quick. God loves you, and God saw a need, and He sent His Son Jesus Christ. Through Him, we find forgiveness, we find healing, and eternity is real. And because of Christ, we have a way to eternity in heaven with the Father. Father loves you. Father's heart is for you. And the scriptures say that salvation comes through the name of Jesus. It's not just a religious belief, it's the truth. It says the moment that you change your mind and you say, you know what, Lord, I turn from my ways. I want to follow You. I want to put my faith in You. I repent. Jesus, I put my faith in You today. Scriptures say that in that moment, you are baptized with salvation. There's three kinds of baptisms in the scripture: salvation, baptism with water, and baptism of the Holy Spirit. And if you're here today and you've never put your faith in Jesus, I want to give you an opportunity to do that. God is always saving people. God will never stop saving people. His heart is to save, forgive, restore, baptize you with salvation, with water, and then baptize you with the Holy Spirit. That overdrive that we all need to run in the way that we were born to run. If you're here today and you never put your faith in Jesus, I'm going to say a prayer. We're all going to pray. And if you pray that for the first time, I want you to lift your hands at the end when I ask for it. So I'm going to keep it super simple. Ready? Father in heaven, I come to You right now. I change my mind and I repent from my ways. I put my faith in the name of Jesus. Forgive me for my sins. Lord, I want You. I desire You. I want Your Holy Spirit. And I want to live and accomplish all that You want me to accomplish. In Jesus' name, amen. Every eye closed. If you pray that prayer for the first time, I just want to see if that's you. At the count of three, one, two, three, raise your hand right where you are. If you pray that prayer for the first time, I see that hand. I see that hand. I see that hand. No one's looking around. This is just your moment. Thank you for raising your hand at the back. If that's you, pray that for the first time. Just lift your hand. I just want to see a response. I see that hand. I see it. Father, I pray right now for those who put their faith in Jesus Christ for the first time. Father, I thank you for your presence. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your goodness. Father, we thank you for the gift of salvation. We thank you, Lord, for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, as we pray for people, we just ask for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we recognize that gifting and whatever we have to offer isn't enough. Your Holy Spirit is what makes it enough. Holy Spirit, you are desired. This is a place where you are desired, you are wanted, and you are needed. And we love you. Continue to move and pour out your Spirit in our lives today and always. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Come on, can we give the Lord a hand? Come on. Remember, it's not by power, it's not by might, it's by the Spirit. In Jesus' name.